sings to you, right? Well, today, our first scripture lesson is also about a song that was sung in celebration for something. And the person that sings the song that I'm about to read is Mary. So I would like you all to listen as I read our first lesson today, which is from the Gospel of Luke, and listen really carefully so that you can tell me what Mary is celebrating in this song, okay? Tell me what Mary is celebrating. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." So that was a really long song. It's a good thing we don't have to sing that song every time somebody has a birthday, right? That's a long song. But as you listen to the words of that song, what was Mary celebrating? What kinds of things was she celebrating? Yeah. Was she celebrating her birthday, or was she celebrating somebody else's birthday? Yeah, and whose birth was she celebrating? Right. Now, Jesus hadn't been born yet. Mary had just found out she was pregnant and she was going to have baby Jesus, but she was celebrating ahead of time that Jesus was going to be born. So that's one of the things she was celebrating. What else? What else did you hear in those words? How about the grown-ups? What was Mary celebrating? She was celebrating that God kept his promises, right, to Abraham and to all those people. What else? What else is Mary celebrating? God's mercy. What else? So Mary spends almost all of her song celebrating some stuff that's a little surprising to us. Listen, listen again. God has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud. He has brought down the powerful and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. What is Mary celebrating? What did you just hear in those words? Go ahead. Right, so she is celebrating God and God's strength and the way that God does some things that we don't always expect. Mary is talking about how God is going to turn the world upside down. So the people who have all the money and the power at the top are going to come down, and the people who don't have anything are going to get raised up. And the people who are hungry are going to get food. And all the people who don't think they need God are going to walk away. Mary is celebrating some surprising things in this song. And maybe there's some things that we're supposed to celebrate at Christmas time too. Instead of just celebrating Santa and presents and all that stuff, maybe we... Right, Christmas is about celebrating Jesus and what Jesus came into the world to do, which was to share his love and peace and justice with all people. So this week, as you celebrate Christmas and you have lots of fun together with your family and friends, I hope that you will remember what Jesus came to earth to do. The reason we celebrate Christmas is because our Savior was born to turn the world upside down, to make things new and filled with God's love and peace. Let's say a prayer together. Dear God, we thank you for this day, We thank you for Mary's song, which reminds us that you have done wonderful things for us. The most wonderful thing of all is that you sent Jesus into our world to show us your love, to bring your light, and to show us all how to live. Help us this week as we celebrate Christmas to live your love and to be light in this world. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thanks, guys. You can go back to your seats.
Our second scripture lesson today comes from Ephesians chapter 5. Listen for God's word. For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is God's word for us this morning. A Christmas wish came true for me this week. Thanks to Mariana Sherman's grandson, I was offered two tickets to the premiere of Star Wars, The Force Awakens. It made me thankful that I preach on such important topics like Star Wars. I took them knowing that it would also mean experiencing the dark side of the Force from my family, who also wanted to go but couldn't that night. I was banished by one of my kids as a result. On Thursday night, my friend Ben and I stood in line at the Cortland Town Center Theater near a person dressed as Obi-Wan Kenobi, with his lightsaber hanging from his belt. Then we sat in the theater for an hour talking and waiting for the movie to start. We were among people of all ages, little kids, older adults, lots of people in between, many wearing some trinket of Star Wars memorabilia. When the lights finally dimmed, there was a loud cheer. One guy stood up, faced the crowd, and yelled, "Star Wars!" And people clapped and laughed. But that wasn't the beginning of the movie. Then came the long string of previews of other movies. By the fifth one, there were audible groans and complaints all over the place. The eve of this movie was taking forever. But 10 previews later, it finally happened. First, the Lucasfilm logo. Then that black screen, then the blue letters a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Then the sudden dramatic sound of the theme music starting with the words Star Wars appearing and crawling across the screen. People were cheering and clapping. The movie was finally here. The story was finally continuing. The wait was over. What was going to happen? It was both familiar and it was new. Now, some of you have shared with me after my last sermon that you just weren't into the first Star Wars movies when they came out. And that's okay. We welcome all kinds of people in this church. You told me you didn't get the hype or the big deal about these movies. And at one level, I completely understand. They are just movies, after all. On the other hand, though, the Star Wars saga contains a core message that speaks to people. Behind the Millennium Falcon, the TIE fighters and the X-Wing fighters, underneath all the battles, the strength of the characters, at least on the light side of the Force, the message of Star Wars is a message of hope. Hope is the key concept that feels impossible to have and yet is the only thing that keeps people going when the resistance feels cobbled together. The dark side appears to have all the power and seems to be winning. I'm not giving away a spoiler here, but at one point early in the movie, Rey, the female heroine who does some really cool stuff, is sitting on a planet full of sand. A barren wasteland, a dead-end kind of place. And she says to the droid BB-8, "I know what it is to wait." She's been hoping most of her life for a future to arrive. She's been waiting for a return, and she's worked to survive until that return. Isn't that what hope really is? Waiting for and trusting in a future that hasn't yet arrived? That's why so many people, including me, connect so deeply with these movies. There's this longing for a future in Star Wars, when the light will overcome the darkness. Kind of like this life. We hope for a future that will include us rather than pass us by. We hope for a future where things get better. And we hope that we won't miss it or squander it when that future does arrive. True to form, that future did arrive in the movie. The Force does awaken. It awakens people to possibilities they could not see before. It awakens opportunities that weren't open before. The people begin to see greater possibilities for their lives than survival. They begin to choose good and the light side of the Force. They sacrifice their own security and power to join a movement. They didn't know what the future held for them, only that they were being led into it. All they could do was choose to follow the Force as they became aware of its presence. And the more they were open to it, the more the Force worked in and through them. Like the movie, our scripture passages today ask some important questions. What hope or hopes do we live with and have for the future? How aware are we of God's awakening in us? With God, what possibilities do we see, and how are we living into them even now? Mary was minding her own business, doing work around her family's home, maybe singing as she worked, probably thinking about the day when she would be married to Joseph. And in the midst of her singing and her working, God showed up. There was no special reason for it, only that she had found favor with God. God wanted her to deliver God's presence to the world. She would conceive in her womb and bear a son. "He will be great," an angel told her. "He'll be called the Son of the Most High. He'll sit on the throne of her ancestor David, and he will rule forever. Of his kingdom there will be no end." Something in Mary awakened to what this meant. God was asking her to join God's work in the world. She didn't know what the future held. She certainly didn't know the joys and the sorrows that were going to come. But she chose to say, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Her future had arrived. Regardless of the risks and the unknown, she chose to believe what God said he would do and live into it. Just before our scripture passage today, Mary went to visit Elizabeth, who had also become pregnant under some unusual circumstances. Elizabeth was, quote, "getting on in years," as her husband delicately described her. But she was pregnant nonetheless. Something was happening that an old woman and a very young unmarried girl would be pregnant together. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb for joy. In that moment, Elizabeth also awakened to the possibility of what was happening and recognized the moment. She said to Mary, "The mother of my Lord has come to me." She knew something was starting with Mary's child. She even called Mary blessed for believing that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to Mary by the Lord. We don't know a lot about Mary, but Elizabeth tells us that she was a woman of hope. Maybe others had given up. Maybe others had lost hope in a future. Maybe her people had resigned themselves to the barren wasteland of captivity, but not Mary. Whatever else Mary thought of God's plan to work in her and through her, Mary hoped for a new future for her people. And now Elizabeth was awakening to it as well. We hear that hope in our scripture passage today. Only Mary didn't just speak the words we read together. Mary sang them. When it became clear to her that the angel had said, what the angel had said was true, that God's work was awakening in the world through her, Mary sang. She sang with hope. She sang a song of hope. This song of hope was one that had been sung for at least 1,000 years before her. Mary drew on the song of Hannah from the Old Testament. When Hannah became pregnant, despite being barren, she sang a song of hope. And for her song, Hannah drew on the song of Miriam, Moses' sister, from almost 300 years earlier. When God delivered the children of Israel from the slavery in Egypt through the Red Sea, Miriam sang a song of praise about what God had done and how God would lead her people. When God made Mary the bearer of hope, she sang the song her grandmothers in the faith for generations before had sung before her. These were not new words. These were words steeped in generations of faith in God and sung by a people who believed before her and now by a person who believed them herself. Mary started with the praise that needed to come out. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. I mean, who sings those words unless they are awakened to God's presence and purpose in their lives? Mary declared God's holiness, and then she devoted most of her lyrics to God's habit of taking down the powerful and enthroning the oppressed. The world was turning. God was doing a new thing. The future had arrived. Mary sung a song of a real hope that only comes when you are awakened to God's presence and see what God has done and will do. Only the things Mary sang about hadn't happened yet. For all that Mary says God did, it doesn't seem to have happened yet. There were still people who were proud, people who were powerful, people who were victims of that power, people who were still hungry, and rich people who didn't care. Israel was still in captivity. Was Mary blinded by faith and hope in her song? I don't think so. You see, people with hope see a future. They don't deny the present. They see the darkness in themselves and in this world. But the darkness doesn't destroy hope. It awakens them to their purpose in this world. And like Mary, they sing of that hope even as they live into it. Something was destroying that hope in the people in our scripture lesson from Ephesians today. Something was putting the Ephesian Christians to sleep. Something was making them forget who they were. Once you were darkness, Paul wrote, but now in the Lord you are light. Something about their lives wasn't showing who they are. Something about their ministry wasn't good, right, or true. It wasn't the surface things that we often get bent out of shape over in church. It was more about how they were letting the powers of this world overpower them. A problem churches have had for 2,000 years. Powers of darkness that exclude whole groups of people for their religion. And politicians who use fear to get votes. Powers of darkness that make the poverty of this world the exclusive fault of the poor. Powers of darkness that judge people on the color of their skin. Powers of darkness that use this world selfishly. The people of Ephesus and the Christian church there weren't living as children of light. They had gone to sleep to the hope for which they stood. They could no longer see possibilities for what God wanted to do in them and through them. So to wake them up, Paul used a line from what many commentators believe is one of the earliest Christian hymns. We don't know the whole hymn, but we do have one line. Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. He reminds them of this line because the opposite was happening. The people of faith were dead. They were not living as though they had been raised from the dead. Christ was not shining on them to be light in the world. They had little or no awareness that God wanted to work through them, or that one day Christ would come again and finish what he started. You didn't visit this people in this church and feel hopeful about the future. And if they were dead, and if other people came into this church who were dead, who would show the world what it meant to be alive in Christ? Who would show the world the possibilities that are awakening for new life, new relationships, new ministry, new generosity, new abundance with the presence of God right here and now? Paul wrote to wake up the Ephesians to the possibility of living as children of light, so that they could reflect the shining light of God's love in Jesus Christ to the world. Our journey through Advent this year has been all about awakening, waking up to what God has already done in our lives and for this world, and to what God will do in the future. Our awakening has been a time of preparation, of getting ready to welcome the Christ child into our hearts, and to welcome our resurrected Savior and Lord whenever and wherever he comes again. We awaken to the possibility that we all have hopes, and we yearn for something that we hope will come to pass one day. We awaken to our identity as children of light, called to live into the hope God has set for us. And we do all of this as the days get shorter and the nights longer. We wake up as the darkness seems to be winning, because that's when hope is needed most. What is God trying to awaken in you and in us this Advent? What possibilities for hope, for love, for healing, for forgiveness, for justice, for peace does God's presence show us? Whatever God will reveal, prepare yourself now to say, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then sing a song of hope as God leads you and us into that future. Amen.